Hare Krishna. Sunday, April 12th, 2015. This is Srimad Bhagavatam class given by His Grace Devakananda Prabhu on the 9th canto, 4th chapter, 47th verse, chapter entitled Maharisha. Ambarish Maharaj, offended by Durvasa Muni.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat the translation.
Taking a trident in his hand,
and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish.
But the king,
upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed and did not move even slightly from his position. Let's hear the purport. Narayana Paraha Sarveva Kuta Tatastana Bibhyati, Bhagavatam 6.17.28. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father, but was not at all afraid, although he was only a five-year-old boy. Therefore, following the examples of Amrish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees. Yet, the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnu Stapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostupe Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Supe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauri Tushe Namaha Vacha Kapatru Vyascha Kripaha Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So we welcome you all to this morning Srimad Bhagavatam. This is such a wonderful verse for us to reflect on. And the background to this verse is also very important. We know that Amrish Maharaj is a great and exalted devotee of the Lord. And we also know that he took a very long fast and he was about to break it when Durvasa Muni comes walking in. Durvasa Muni, by nature, has a very angry temperament. He's prone to being quite liberal in his curses. So this time, when Amrish Maharaj welcomed him, he also requested him to break the fast with him and to take prasadam. So what happens is, Durvasa Muni tells Amrish Maharaj that I will come back after I perform my ablutions. At that point of time, Durvasa Muni leaves and Amrish Maharaj is waiting. But the hour in which that time will pass, if the fast is not broken, is fast coming. So Amrish Maharaj is in a fix. Should he break his fast or should he wait for Durvasa Muni? He consults the Brahmanas, but finally he decides that the best way out of this is to take a sip of water. Taking a sip of water is neither breaking fast nor actually continuing the fast. It's somewhere in between. So it is a very learned and wise thing for Amrish Maharaj to perform. He takes a drop of water and after that Durvasa Muni comes. Durvasa Muni is very powerful. Being a Muni, he has quite powerful mystic perfections. So he could divine that actually Amrish Maharaj had already broken his fast, so to speak. So he becomes very upset with Amrish Maharaj. And at that point of time, to teach him a lesson that he should not do this to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni then summons a very powerful personality that we hear about, a blazing creature. And this creature takes a trident in his hand and he's so powerful that even the earth trembles under his footsteps. And this creature comes forth from Durvasa Muni and it comes very threateningly towards Ambarish Maharaj. Now, what's important about this verse is that the reaction of Ambarish Maharaj is amazing, and it's also very, very instructive for devotees. So Prabhupada translates here very nicely that the king, upon seeing this creature, was not at all disturbed. This is an important point for us to remember. And he was not even disturbed because he did not even move slightly from his position. In fact, if you read on in this verse and in the chapter, you find that as this creature comes before Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj is not even praying that, "Please, Krishna, someone come and save me." And that would be the immediate reaction for many living entities when something terrible comes before us. But Ambarish Maharaj was so fixed in his remembrance of Krishna that he accepted the presence of the creature as nothing further and nothing more than anything else that will come and present itself in this material world. Which is why Prabhupada starts this purport by quoting a very important verse from Bhagavatam. This verse is found in 6th Canto, 17th chapter, 28th verse. And there, Lord Shiva actually tells Parvati Mata something very wonderful about the devotees of the Lord. He says, "Narayana para sarve, na kutaschana vibhyati, swarga apavarga narakeshu api tulyata darshinaha." The translation is very nice. The devotees are solely engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. If we are engaged in devotional service, then automatically the devotees will never fear any condition of life. This is a very practical point for us to take. If we are fixed in our devotional service, then no matter what condition of life presents before us, the fear of what that could happen, the fear of the effects of such condition, does not touch the devotee. Why? The devotee, for them, the verse tells us, heavenly planets, liberation, or hellish planets are all the same for the devotee, because such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. And that is why they are known as Narayana Paraha. As long as we take up devotional service with the sole mood to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to serve the devotees of the Lord, if that is the mood in which we adopt the position of devotional service, then in any condition of life, whether it is good or whether it is bad, whether it looks like a reversal or whether it looks like a boon, we will not be disturbed. But the important thing is to understand the purpose of the devotional service. In the 10th canto, 1st chapter, 4th verse, Shukadeva Goswami gives us the reason why we come to the temples, the reason why we take up devotional service. Nivritta tarshe upagiyamana bhavau shodacho tramano virama kauttama shloka gunanumada puman virajeta. Puman virajeta vina pasudna. It's a very important verse for us to remember. Shukadeva Goswami says that glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be performed. And that is why we are here in this temple. We come here not to glorify ourselves, but we come here to glorify the Supreme Lord. If we come here with a tinge of material motive that somehow or another we should take credit for our service, then we become disturbed. Then fear will touch our hearts. But if we follow the examples of the great Vaishnava Acharyas, not imitate them, but follow them. If we come to the temple with the sole aim of glorifying Krishna on the platform of service and to serve the devotees, then in that humble mood, any condition of life does not touch us. Ambarish Maharaj was not there to take credit for his devotional service. He was only interested in pleasing Krishna. That was his sole aim. And therefore, this terrible creature that came before him, it could not touch him. So if you read the purport to 6.17.28, Prabhupada uses a very nice phrase. He says the devotees of the Lord who are engaged in Krishna consciousness, they liberally engage in the service of the Lord. They don't wait for the conditions to become good for them to perform devotional service. In this material world, we will never have a good condition. The nature of the material world is such that it is meant to trouble you. By the time we wait for the condition in the material world to become best, and then we perform devotional service, we'll all be in our graves. That time will never come. That is why Bhagavatam tells us, samsara dharme avimuyamanaha. Just like the nature of water is to flow, the nature of fire is to burn, therefore the nature of this material world is always to cause bewilderment. It is the nature of the world. It is not the fault of the world. You don't fault someone when they have a certain nature. What you do is you tolerate that nature. You accept that nature. And you make the best use of that nature. And that's exactly what Amrish Maharaj was doing. He accepted the condition of the material world as troublesome. So Durvasa Muni coming before him and this terrible creature coming before him was just another product of this material world. When we are not surprised by the fact that this material world is only going to give us misery and anxiety, then half the battle is won. And we don't waste time trying to work out when will the condition be right for me to wake up from Mangalarti? When will that day come when I can read Bhagavatam? We should immediately, without wasting time, take up this devotional service. In the words of Bhagavatam, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivrena means like a strong shaft of sunlight that pierces through the window. In that way, we have to take up this nice devotional service. So the word that's very important that Prabhupada uses the purport here is that Amrish Maharaj was not afraid of this event because it was another product of this material world. Fear exists in all three different worlds in this material universe. When the devatas saw that Jai and Vijay were falling down from Vaikuntha and they were going to become Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, the devatas became very worried because they were afraid that now they would cause so much problems in the heavenly planets. So they turned to Brahma and they say, Brahmaji, now we are very worried, you know, that these great demons are going to be born. What to do? And Prabhupada writes in the purport of the first verse in the third canto, the 17th chapter, first verse, in that purport Prabhupada writes that the devatas being fearful of their position proves that no one in this material world is free from fear. Fear exists everywhere. So it is not surprising that we are fearful. That is not surprising. In fact, mating, eating, sleeping and defending. We use the word defending very often. But if you look at the Sanskrit word to describe the four stations of life, mating, eating, defending, defending is described as bhaya, fear. Because it is fear of that which we will lose. Because we think we own it. That is why it causes us to defend it. And this is the greatest difficulty. Amrish Maharaj did not think that he owned the kingdom. He was completely detached from his kingdom. Therefore, when the dangers came, there was nothing for him to be worried about because he was not going to lose anything. But the devatas thought they were going to lose the heavenly planets. And therefore, they became fearful. So the most practical way in which we overcome fear in this material world is when we know everything that belongs to us is only on borrowed time. It is on rental basis. It is not ours to keep. The moment we understand that, if we understand that we are caretakers of what has come before us, then again half the battle is won. And we are not fearful when something leaves us. Because the nature of the world is, it is temporary. If this body is temporary, how can the things that we have be permanent? And if the things are temporary in this world, the good news for us is even the difficulties we face, thank God, will also be temporary. When the body ends, the difficulties end. So that is why Amrish Maharaj was very fixed. So fear comes when we are attached. Fear also comes when we think we are the owners of that attachment. Amrish Maharaj never thought that way, even though he was a great king. And that is why when this great, terrible personality presented itself before him, he was not troubled. So the first step in devotional service to understand is that fear exists everywhere. That quality is there. But fearlessness comes when a devotee is fixed in devotional service. When he understands that his true position in this material world is that he is only here to render loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That is very important. When a devotee is fixed in devotional service, then whatever troubles come, Bhagavatam tells us, they appear nothing more than water which is caught in the hoofprint of a calf. You know, when the calves walk, the hoofprint is very small. When the rain comes, there's a little bit of water. Maybe to an ant, crossing that is like crossing an ocean. But for us, crossing it doesn't require any endeavor. In the same way, Bhagavatam tells us, 10th canto, 14th chapter, 58th verse, very important verse. Samasritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho murare bhavarambudhi vatsapadam parampadam padam padam yadvipadamnatesham. Srila Prabhupada liked this verse very much, and the translation is very nice. For those who have accepted the lotus feet of the Lord as the boat to cross this ocean of birth and death, then whatever difficulties in this material world, whatever fear that exists in this material world, whatever danger that comes before us in this material world, they are nothing more than water in the hoofprints of a calf. And in that way, despite the fact that there is danger at every step of this material world, the devotees do not concentrate on the fearful condition of life. They concentrate on param padam. They concentrate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Ambarish Maharaj's heart and mind was fully concentrated on the lotus feet of the Lord. So when this terrible demon appeared before him, it did not disturb him. The more we remember Krishna, the more Krishna protects us. The more we want to be directed by Krishna and his instructions, the more automatically Krishna takes control of our senses. And we do not fear. If you read the first chapter, 15th verse, purport of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes very clearly, the word Rishikesha, Krishna is addressing that verse as Rishikesha. Prabhupada says, Rishikesha means one who controls the senses. Senses means our senses. Prabhupada writes there, when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna immediately took control over his senses. When a devotee takes up devotional service, to the extent that he surrenders to Krishna, to that extent Krishna takes control of his senses. And if the Supreme Lord is in control of one's senses, then there is no question of fear in the heart of that devotee. If there is fear in our heart, we should understand practically that we are not yet surrendered. We should not blame Krishna, Krishna, I'm fearful but I'm chanting. We may be chanting, but are we surrendered in our chanting? To the extent that we are surrendered, to that extent Krishna controls our senses. And Prabhupada writes very nicely, from control comes direction. It's a very nice point. One who controls our senses, he will then direct our senses. And Krishna always directs the senses of his devotees towards his lotus feet. And this is the secret to becoming fearless in this material world. When we are 100% fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, then, as stated in this purport, devotees become tolerant of all the dangers and troubles of this world. A very good way to understand tolerance is given in the 11th canto. In the 11th canto, you have this great Brahmana who adopts 24 different gurus. And the first guru that he adopts is Mother Earth. And you know what he learns from Mother Earth? Beautiful point on tolerance we should remember. Bhutai akramyamano api dhiro dhaivo vasa angari tadvidvan na chalein vargat. Very important. In that verse, the Brahmana says, I learned from Mother Earth the value of tolerance. And what does he say? He says that the living entities are constantly being harassed by the material modes of nature. Actually, we are all harassed. The moment we leave this beautiful temple, we become harassed by the modes of material nature. But as long as we are in the temple, then the modes never touch us. Because this temple is transcendental to the modes of material nature. But the moment we forget Krishna, then immediately the modes of nature catch us. Therefore, remembrance of Krishna is the way to surpass the modes. Forgetfulness of Krishna is the way to embrace the modes. So Bhagavatam tells us, a devotee sees that every living entity in this material world is constantly harassed by the material modes of nature. And because they are harassed by the material modes of nature, they become disturbed. And because they are disturbed, they harass others and they cause others disturbance. Isn't it true that when we become disturbed, inevitably we disturb other people? It's very hard for those who are not disturbed or for those who are disturbed not to disturb others. Very often we become sources of disturbance to others because we are disturbed ourselves. And because we are so generous in sharing our disturbances, we are very happy to share it. And everyone else around us also become disturbed. But a devotee understands, and he understands that people who are disturbed, they are very often disturbed for want of spiritual knowledge, and therefore they are suffering actually. This is the compassion of a devotee. Ambarish Maharaj never became angry with Durvasa Muni. By the end of this chapter, he was anything but angry or inimical towards Durvasa Muni. He was not. Because he applied this lesson of Mother Earth from Bhagavatam in his daily life. So Mother Earth tells us in Bhagavatam that a devotee is never harassed by others because he understands that they are harassed by the material worlds. So instead of becoming harassed, he becomes diva, he becomes sober, he becomes grave. Instead of becoming disturbed, he increases his devotional service. He increases the quality and fabric of his devotional service. And in becoming that, he becomes more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He does not try to find material ways to stop material problems. Prahlad Maharaj says in Bhagavatam, Dukhaushadam tarpi dukkha matadhyayam. If you try to use material solutions to solve material problems, the material solutions very often become larger and more problematic than the material problems in the first place. So we should learn from Prahlad Maharaj that very practical point. So Ambarish Maharaj merely concentrated on the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is why he was Dhira. And because he was Dhira, he saw even this terrible creature coming before him as an opportunity for him to remember Krishna even more. This is the greatness of devotees. Parikshit Maharaj is another great example. Parikshit Maharaj was harassed like anything. He was harassed by the curse, for which it was a very innocuous thing that he did. And even then he was cursed. He was so powerful, Bhagavatam tells us, that he could very easily have counteracted the curse. But instead of wasting time counteracting, and then acting again, and then counteracting, he thought, why to waste time? As it is, I have a quota, 7 days. Better I use that time to remember Krishna. If I was in Parikshit Maharaj's place, I would have taken 7 days just to fight with Shri. And I would have taken 7 days just to fight with Krishna to say why I am such a great devotee and why I should be cursed. And by the time the 7 days are over, I would not have remembered Krishna. So devotees do not waste time. In 1.18.48 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the tolerance of Ambarish Maharaj is explained in that verse. Tiraskritta vipralabdha, shapta shipta hatapi, nasya tat pratikur vanti, tat bhaktaha prabhavodhi. Very important verse. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing, forbearing means tolerant, that even though they may be defamed, number one, they may be cheated, number two, they may be cursed, number three, they may be disturbed, number four, number five, they may be even neglected, or even killed, number six. The devotees of the Lord, na asya tat pratikurvanti, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. They just tolerate. And in their tolerance, Krishna automatically protects them. Krishna was sitting down in Dwarka and he was about to have prasadam. Suddenly he stood up and then suddenly he sat down. So Rukmini Mata asked him, my Lord, why did you stand up and why did you sit down? And Krishna said, well, I was going to have prasad when suddenly a devotee of mine on earth, he was walking through a forest and all of a sudden he was accosted by a wild dog. And I was standing up immediately because I wanted to give him protection. Then why did you sit down? Rukmini Mata asked. He said, oh, I sat down because before the devotee could remember me and have faith in my protection, he picked up a brick and he wanted to throw it at the dog. So Rukmini Mata said, aren't you going to go and help him? And Krishna said, the moment he picked up that brick, I could not tell the difference between who was the devotee and who was the dog. And this is a very important point. A devotee has full faith in Krishna, and therefore he is not concerned if the onslaughts of material nature come. And because he is not so concerned, he increases his devotional service. And this is exactly what happened to Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was actually cursed by Durvasa, because Durvasa brought this terrible curse on him in the form of the demon. Durvasa was ready to actually disturb him. Durvasa Muni was ready to cause him harm. But despite all that, Ambarish Maharaj never meant unwell to Durvasa. And because he did not do that, Sudarshan Chakra, which was already guarding the beautiful kingdom of Ambarish Maharaj, automatically came and automatically protected him. As Prabhupada writes here, the king was not at all disturbed. He did not even move slightly. Therefore, when we are placed in an awkward position, we should not feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes, you know, we start feeling pity. I'm a devotee. Why should I be placed in this situation? And when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, we don't remember Krishna. We only remember ourselves. And what's the point of remembering yourself? We cannot bring ourselves back to Krishna. Only Krishna can bring us back to Krishna. When Vidura was cursed and insulted by Duryodhana, Duryodhana insulted him like anything, and he threw him out of the kingdom. Vidura, Bhagavatam says, was not sorry. He left his bow and arrow at the doorstep of the palace and he walked out. As he walked out, he was afflicted by the hurting words of Duryodhana, but he was not sorry. He was not sorry because he considered the acts of the external energy of the Lord to be supreme. In other words, when danger or disturbance or difficulties come before us, we should see the hand of Krishna. Instead of cursing everybody else, we should just see the hand of Krishna. So we should end by remembering a very beautiful point that is actually brought up by Parikshit Maharaj, I think. Parikshit Maharaj sings very nicely in the first canto, 19th chapter, I think around the 14th verse. Because he is asked, you know, by the sages, as he is about to sit down to hear Bhagavatam, how is it that he did not react to the curse of Shringi Brahmana? And then this is the prayer he chants. And this prayer should be the prayer of all devotees. Whenever we are placed in danger, whenever we are disturbed, or whenever we are put in an awkward situation. Tasyeva meghasya paravaresho vyasapta chittasya graheshu abhikshnam nirvedamulo dvijasaparupo yatra prasatto bhayamashudatta. The meaning is very beautiful. Parikshit Maharaj says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of transcendental and mundane worlds. So actually Krishna controls this material world also. So if we are in trouble, the only person factually we should blame is Krishna, because he's controlling everything. So that's the first thing we must understand. We are not in control. Then he says, this same Supreme Personality of Godhead has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. See, Parikshit Maharaj saw the curse of Shringi Brahmana as the grace of Krishna. And that curse overtook him, because he says, due to my being too attached to family and kingdom, I would not have come out of this if not for the fact that he had cursed me. So the Supreme Lord was so kind that he has appeared before me in such a way so as to put fear in my heart, so that I will detach myself from society and attach myself to his lotus feet. This is the mood of a devotee. Any awkward position, he sees the hand of Krishna. He saw the Brahmana's curse as gracious mercy of the Lord. And Ambarish Maharaj felt the same way. He not only tolerated this terrible being, but he didn't waste time doing anything. He didn't waste time saying, Krishna, please save me. Because he thought, if this terrible creature has come before me, then let Krishna do with me as he wants to. Let me concentrate on Krishna. A devotee is never interested in protecting his body. He is more interested in protecting his consciousness. That is the only thing in this world a devotee fears. And his prayer is that, my Lord, in all situations, let my consciousness never leave your lotus feet. That fear is good fear. Any other fear is a waste of time. And at the end of this entire episode, what will happen is Sudarshan Chakra will come after this and it will consume this terrible creature. And then Sudarshan Chakra will proceed to consume Durvasa Muni. And for 1 year, Durvasa Muni travels the whole world. He goes through the oceans and the caves, and then he runs to see Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma says, not my problem. He goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, well, I didn't invoke Sudarshan Chakra. He goes to Lord Vishnu and he says, you take Sudarshan Chakra. And Lord Vishnu says, guess what? Even I have no control over Sudarshan Chakra. You got to go back to Ambarish Maharaj. And Durvasa Muni must have been thinking, if only I had learned about this earlier, I would have saved 1 year of running around for nothing. And that is what we have to save. We have to save time. When we are in difficulty, take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and we will become fearless. His name itself is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A.C. is Abhay Charani. Not A.C. as in aircon or not A.C. as in air cooler. We don't take shelter of that A.C. We take shelter of this A.C. And if we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and the pure devotees of the Lord, then just like Ambarish Maharaj, no matter how awkward position we are in, it will not touch us. So Durvasa Muni has to come back to the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. And when he came back to Ambarish Maharaj, Bhagavatam tells us, Ambarish Maharaj became so embarrassed because he felt, I don't deserve Durvasa Muni falling at my feet. He picked him up and he embraced him. And at that point of time, this Durvasa Muni, who wished Ambarish Maharaj so much unwell, what does he say at the end of all this? He says, today, my dear king, I have understood the glories of a devotee. Why? Because he said, although I committed an offense to you, you prayed for my good fortune. This is the quality of a devotee. And this quality automatically instills fearlessness. This very nice point. Ambarish Maharaj wished good fortune, even though Durvasa Muni wanted to commit an offense. If we live our life on this practical instruction of Bhagavatam, then even though fear is such a powerful thing in this world, it will never touch us. Instead, we should fear and pray that we never leave the lotus feet of Krishna. Every reversal in our life becomes an opportunity to remember Krishna. You all know, in practical experience, that when times are good, it is very easy to forget Krishna. But when times are really bad, then sometimes by the slap of Maya, we become more dependent on Krishna. So tolerance comes when we are dependent on Krishna. And dependence can only come when we are surrendered to His instructions. And we can only know the instructions of Krishna when we are surrendered to His pure devotee. Because only the pure devotee can give us that transparent bio-medium for us to follow those instructions of Krishna. Jai Gritaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaura Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'll ask you quite a few questions, but I'll ask one.
Sure.
You are talking that what does fear like to have complete faith in Krishna and Krishna is protecting. So in our like practical life in present days, so how do the devotees they can balance?
Balance between?
Between like, you know, they're like, you have like, okay, I think like maybe they can, like, devotee can think, oh, I'm a complete faith, Krishna will protect. So I'm not going to for a job. Working. So any problems come, Krishna will take care of it. So I'll completely surrender. So.
Very nice question. Actually, the answer is in the life of Ambarish Maharaj himself. Even though Ambarish Maharaj was fully surrendered to the protection of Krishna, he did not mix up surrender to Krishna with the execution of his duties. It's the same thing that was given to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Arjuna thought that when we surrender to Krishna, it means there are no activities that we must perform. But actually Krishna says that is not the truth. The truth is, genuine surrender means we perform all our duties, but we are not attached to the results of the duties. That is the mood of dependence on Krishna. Chapter 5, text 10 of Bhagavad Gita is very useful. Brahmani adhaya karmani. Right? Sangam tyatva karoti yaha. What is the lipyena nacha papena padma patram ivambasaha. When you have time, there is a verse that gives us the answer. Krishna says very nicely in that verse, Brahmani adhaya. Adhaya means resign. Prabhupada gives a very nice meaning in the word to word. Karmani means activities. So Krishna instructed Arjuna, whatever activities that we have to do to sustain ourselves, that must continue. Because as you correctly pointed out, no one in this world can live without activity. And no one in this world can live without desires. Desire and activity, they are cousins. Every activity is motivated by desire. But if our desire is to please Krishna, then the activity that we perform will not only sustain us, but the results don't touch us. Because we know that when we perform that activity, we are doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for our satisfaction. Yes?
Even the connection is like, according to like Shastra, that our activity is to please Krishna, glorify Krishna, chanting His names.
Very
that
true.
That is that duty.
Yes.
So like, when you are like, you may be doing some business or job or farm work, so sometimes we may think this in our pleasure.
Yes, it is very easy.
Yeah,
very easy.
Can. Yes. So how we can like continuously glorify Krishna?
By doing good sadhana. If our chanting, if our study of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's books, if our association of devotees is steady, and if it is very firm, and if we make it our priority in our life, no matter what our work is, if we start our day with good chanting, if we start our day with good Bhagavati, if we start our day by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, in whatever time that permits, then you will find automatically, when you begin your day, in whatever material activities you may have to perform for your sustenance, your sadhana protects you. Your devotional service protects you. Krishna protects you. That is the greatness of devotional service. It actually works. That's the good news. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here. But it works in a subtle way. The word Bhagavatam uses is gambhir. Devotional service works in a subtle way. Kalena sarvatra gabhira rauhasa. 1.5.18 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni says, this devotional service, the effect of it is so subtle, we don't realize that we are being purified. And that is why Srila Prabhupada established this program wherever we are. We may be householders, we may be brahmacharis, but we all have the capacity to start our day by chanting, by observing Mangalanti, and having become purified in that way, Krishna will protect our consciousness. Challenge is always there, Prabhupada. That is not the way to go. When you use the word balance, please remember that balance itself means you're in the center, but you're always moving a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and that's how you balance yourself. That's always going to be. The nature of the world will never give us 100% perfect environment. That's why Prabhupada said, better a blind uncle than no uncle. And very often Prabhupada said, make the best use of a bad bargain. The day we wait for a good bargain to come, by that day, we will be seeing Yamaraj, and we don't want to do that. We want to see Krishna. Your question, Prabhu?
Yeah, little bit of going.
Yes.
You gave a wonderful example of Lord Krishna. Just wake up before he having prasad. He sits down again. It's a good example. It's a catch 22. It comes always.
You're right.
At least I feel personally in that.
Yes.
Amrish Maharaj, he was so pure. The Sudarshan Chakra was kept at his disposal.
Yes.
So, you know, we know all this glory, we know all this exalted devotees. But when we look at little bit of sadhana, that we are not there. So it's always catch 22. Will Krishna, because I am not pure, I am not surrender, will he come and protect me?
Yes.
In the case of a dog?
Yes.
You know, or I have to protect myself.
Yes.
So that how to break that ice? I think that is the always dilemma.
The answer, Prabhu, is in the first canto, 7th chapter, going to 8th chapter. It's a perfect episode. Very sharp, very simple, very straightforward. Ashwatthama is being chased by Krishna and Arjuna after he has slain the 5 sons of Draupadi. He's running away in the chariot and he's afraid because he can see the chariot of Arjuna coming closer and closer. In desperation, Bhagavatam tells us, he releases the Brahmashtra weapon. Brahmashtra is very powerful, but Ashwatthama is fool, number one. He can release it, but he can't withdraw it. The Ashwatthama has released his Brahmashtra weapon, and the power of the weapon is coming towards Arjuna. Arjuna sees the Brahmashtra coming towards him. Now, there are several causes of action he can take. The first cause is to just immediately counteract it with another Brahmashtra weapon. Because that's the practical way to stop this Brahmashtra weapon. So what does Arjuna do? Because Krishna is next to him. Arjuna does something which shows us the way to live in this world. When Arjuna sees the Brahmashtra weapon coming, even though he's perfectly capable of counteracting the weapon, he pauses. He does achaman. We may not have that luxury, but he does achaman. He gets off the chariot, he circumambulates Krishna, he chants 4 beautiful prayers. He chants very, very beautiful prayers. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta Nama Vayankaraha, Tvammeko Dhaya Manana, Apavargo Si Samstitehe. So he's praying the prayer that you said. He said, Krishna, you are the only one who can protect me. There is no one in this world that can take fear out of anyone's heart. It is only you. So he glorifies Krishna first. And in glorifying Krishna, he has invoked the protection of the Lord. Now after praying and glorifying Krishna in 4 verses, Arjuna then gets up onto the chariot and he's all business now. And then he counteracts the Brahmashtra weapon by shooting another Brahmashtra weapon. So what Arjuna has done is, he's not shirked from the practical point of stopping that weapon. And we will not shirk from the solutions that we have to perform in this material world to settle things. But instead of doing it on the basis of false ego, we start by invoking the auspicious presence of the Lord in our heart. We remember Krishna before we undertake an endeavor. And that little moment of remembrance, Prabhu, goes a long way in instilling more faith in us. It's a very simple episode, but it shows us the difference between a great devotee of the Lord and a struggling devotee of the Lord. A great devotee of the Lord will remember Krishna first and execute his duty. But a struggling devotee of the Lord will execute his duty and then, oh yeah, I forgot, Krishna, please save me. The difference in sequence will affect the purity of the devotional service. I hope that helps.
Thank you. You're a wonderful example.
Thank you so much for joining us for Bhagavatam. Please don't leave Bhagavatam. Please don't leave Prabhupada's books. And please always be in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was asked, you know, that if supposing I'm struggling in my devotional service and someone is surrendered in devotional service, what will be my position at the end of my life? And Prabhupada said very nicely, he said that when you're in a ship and the ship is going to dock at a particular country, it doesn't matter where someone is in a ship. Someone could be in the front of a ship. You could be in the bathroom of the ship. But the moment the ship has docked into another country, everyone on that ship, automatically, they have understood to have arrived at the destination. As long as we are on this boat of devotional service, this boat that Srila Prabhupada created, then it doesn't matter which part of the boat we are on. We just have to be on that boat. And the moment we are on that boat, then the association of the devotees will save us from danger and save us from the greatest danger, which is forgetfulness of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava.
Very nice lecture, Mama.
Thank you, Prabhu. The lecture is for my head. Hopefully, I will apply it.
How long will you stay, Prabhu?
I'm leaving tonight.
Oh, really? Wow.
I'm going to be here for the evening.
Evening, Pandit.
And then after that, early morning is my flight.
Oh, okay.
Please keep coming, Prabhu.
Yeah, sure.
Continue with your nice services.
Sure, sure.
See you then. What is your name?
Hemangadas.
Hemangadas Prabhu. Jai. Very nice to meet you. Come sometime to Singapore. Give us your association. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
So nice.
No, nice.
I think I saw
you. Came? You was here 1 year or 2 years back?
2 years ago, yes.
2 years back.
Yes. I try to make it once in 2 years.
That is so nice.
No, I'm happy to be here.
You were given. And I didn't know that I came a little late.
No, that's okay.
Prabhu is speaking
with last evening yesterday.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the arrangements.
Thank you very much for at the last minute coming to do the double bill on Sunday today.
I'm so happy because you have engaged me and have to remember the show this week.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm going to have to listen to your class on the machine here now.